Again, church, it is great to be with you today. Thank you so much for you being with us. Last Sunday was, of course, a day that we recognize in this country. Thankfully, we still recognize in this country a day that the entire nation should celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we were doing that, we had a great crowd. We had great singing, great prayers, great time of communion. But in it all, I forgot to give you some great news. So I'm going to do it this week. Never too late for great news, right? Visiting with us for some time now has been a sweet young lady who a Wednesday a week ago met with our elders and said she is not wanting to be a visitor anymore. She wants to be a member of the Azalea City Church of Christ. And so I'm very excited to announce and welcome to Azalea City, Miss Olive Cole. So Miss Olive, if you will stand up. Welcome to Azalea City. I did apologize to her when I saw her last week. I just slipped my memory. But she's certainly embedded in our hearts, and so we're thankful for her. As I said last week, we talked about Jesus Christ. We talked about what He went through on the cross. We talked about the burial, where He was buried in a borrowed tomb from Joseph of Arimathea. We talked about how, even though it was a neat story, how sad it must have been for folks like his mom, who was knowing that this was her son who just suffered and died and now has been buried in a tomb. But of course, we also talked about how happy it was at the end of the day because Satan was defeated. Because there is no more, as Bill said, it is finished. There is no way he can win unless we allow him to win in our own lives. He can't beat Jesus. He can't beat God. And so that resurrection represented that. So now that we have that news in our hands, right, and we offer the invitation and remember that, hey, we all agreed here that we celebrating the resurrection last Sunday and every day from here on out. And so as we get to this point, now what? Now what? Now that Jesus is resurrected, what are we to do? Well, the only thing we know that we can do is go back to what He told those early disciples to do, who became apostles. You remember in Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 28, Jesus resurrects and He appears and He sends for His disciples, and a lot of the Gospels all talk about that in some form or fashion. And so He gets to the point where He sends them to a mountain in Matthew 28, and He says, this is the place we're going to meet, we're going to talk. And there, when they come together, you know what they do? They worship Him. Isn't that amazing? I mean, remember, it was okay to do that because He was God. And so they worship Him. But, you know, Matthew has a little bit of a blurb in there that says, some doubted. Some doubted. So that leads us to what he says in verse 18, all authority has been given unto me. Think about that. All authority has been given to him. So that means the things I'm about to say, you better do. And so he gets those disciples who are now technically apostles because they have been with the resurrected Lord. And he says what Seth read to us a moment ago. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, let's put all that in perspective. Put all that in picture. Let's see the scene, okay? Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb. He resurrected from the tomb to overcome death, to overcome sin, to overcome Satan. It is finished, right? And so now he appears back. And now, as he appears back, he is the victorious king. He is the King of all kings. He always was, but He is the one who is victorious. He said, and here I am before you. Some are worshiping, some are doubting. He said, but I have all the authority. And here's what I want you to do. Now that I'm resurrected, it's time to bring my kingdom into existence. It's time to take this message throughout the world. And He said, I want you to listen to me because I have all the authority. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. So in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is there. He's talking, as Luke records, to His disciples. They are still confused. The Holy Spirit, though, has been promised to them in verse 8. Jesus gives the apostles commands, and He tells them to be witnesses to Him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends or the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's also in verse 8. You know, they ask Him the question when He's talking about leaving them and such, will at this time you restore the kingdom back to Israel? See, they still didn't totally get it. But here's what He's telling them. Wait on the Holy Spirit, because He's going to reveal all these things, because My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom, and we're about to change this world. And I need you guys. He spent 3 years of His ministry changing them. We talk about the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount begins with the Beatitudes. I call them the attitudes that we ought to be. And so with that, He said, I want you to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And He spent 3 years changing their attitudes. And so here they are in Acts 1. To be witnesses to Him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So at this point, Jesus then in chapter 1 ascends to heaven until His second coming, verse 9. Then we get into Acts chapter 2, and here's where it happens. The Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles. That's in verses 1 through 4. Now, I want you to understand this. We also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but if you're new to this, you need to understand the apostles received a miraculous portion of this Holy Spirit. They were able to heal people like Jesus. They were able to walk on water, raise people from the dead, do those kinds of things just like Jesus Christ. We don't have that ability today, but I'm thankful that we do have that gift. We do have the Holy Spirit. But the apostles needed it because they are about to change the world on the message that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the tomb. The people gather for Pentecost to hear the apostles speaking in their own language, verse 5. Now you need to understand that. You got people from all over the nations. I know I'm talking fast. We've got a lot to get into, right? You got people from all over the nations on this day of Pentecost. It's a religious gathering. And the apostles start talking, and because the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit is upon them, they're talking in their native language, but everybody else is hearing in their native language. So if you were Spanish and I was English, I would talk English and you would hear Spanish. That's the way it worked. It wasn't some unknown language that just utterance. It was a different language is all it was. And so, but it was miraculous because I can't talk English and make you hear Spanish, but they could. Whatever the language would be. But you understand the people are confused. They're confused about this, and they even accuse the apostles of being drunk, verse 13. Hey, we can't figure it out. They must be drunk. Of course, Peter then speaks up. Remember Peter, Matthew 16, Jesus gave him the keys of the kingdom. Remember in John, at the end of John, He tells him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Well, Peter's about to open the doors and start feeding sheep. He speaks up and He lets the people know that they are not drunk. And you know what He does? He preaches Jesus Christ to them. That's the sermon that we call the very first gospel sermon, verses 14 through 36. Well, as He's getting down to verse 35 and such, He tells them there, verse 36, that you had the Messiah. See, the Messiah was among you. He walked among you. He lived among you. He healed among you. He did all these things. And you know what you did? You killed Him. You put Him on a tree. Well, because of the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit and everything that's going on and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they are cut to the heart. Aren't they? They are cut to the heart. And that's verse 37. They want to know, what shall we do? You see, they realize how much guilt they have in their lives. By the way, I'm supposed to be changing slides and I'm just not even doing that. That was one. That was two. All right, we're in two now. So they get to that. Okay, and they get to the point and they say, hey, what do we need to do? We have all this guilt on us. And of course, Peter tells them in verse 38, doesn't he? We know that verse by heart. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter opened the door. You want to know what to do with Jesus Christ? You want to know what to do with your guilt? Be immersed in water. Repent of your sins. Be immersed in water. God will contact you with the blood of Jesus. Your sins will be forgiven, and you'll be raised, as later on says in Romans 6, the Apostle Paul, that you'll be raised to walk in newness of life. And you know what they did? 3,000 of them responded to the invitation, about 3,000 of them. They obeyed the gospel. We know the church has now come into existence. The great commission that Jesus gave them in Matthew 28 and Mark 16 and Acts 1, the great commission has begun. Remember, they were to be witnesses to Him in Jerusalem. They were standing there. They'd go make disciples of all the nations they had gathered there. 3,000 of them. In verse 41, God kept adding to the church in verse 47. Now in Acts chapter 3, time keeps on going, right? The Great Commission continues. Remember, the question of this, the question we started out is, now that He's resurrected, what do we do? Now that He's resurrected, what? Well, here it is. You don't sit on that information. You don't sit on the greatest news of all, that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God in the flesh, has died, been buried, but has resurrected Himself from the dead. Yeah, He did it to Lazarus. Yeah, He did it to Jairus' daughter. Yeah, He did it to probably others that we don't even know about, but He did it to Himself. Think about that. God resurrected God. What do you do with it? You go into all the nations. You make disciples. Acts 1, Acts 2, now Acts 3. Peter and John, they encounter that lame man at the gate called Beautiful. Remember that lame man, this is verses 1 through 10. That lame man is begging for money. He's probably done that a number of years. His handlers probably have carried him there, said, you beg here for money, you're going to give us most of it, we'll give you a few crumbs. That's probably the way it worked. And so people walk by that gate all the time. Please give me something. They feel sorry for him. He's crippled. Here's some change. Here's some loose change. And they do that. Peter and John walk up and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Silver and gold we do not have. But what we do have, listen to this, we give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He didn't struggle to get up, did he? The Bible says he leapt to his feet. And now this man who's been crippled, he goes everywhere walking and praising God. Verse 9. The people who knew this lame man, that probably gave him money, that knew he'd been crippled his whole entire life, he probably gave that still every day. Help this crippled man. I've been crippled my whole life. Please give me some money. Well, the people that see that, they're amazed at this great miracle. Wouldn't you be? I would. That's verse 11. This miracle, again, because why? What I said, the Holy Spirit gave the apostles the miraculous power to do these things. It allows Peter and John to go everywhere, putting in a good word for Jesus Christ, verses 12 through 26. And that gets us to the chapter I want us to be in today. And that is Acts chapter 4. You see, at the beginning of this, we asked the question, now that He's resurrected, what do we do? Well, we've answered a lot of that already. Matthew 28, Acts 1, Acts 1, Acts 2, Acts 3. You go everywhere teaching Jesus Christ. You go everywhere celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. Well, we get to Acts 4, and it is a wonderful outline. In fact, the entire outline of my sermon today comes from Acts chapter 4. They give us the story. They give us the lesson. They give us the sermon on what do we do with the news that Jesus Christ has resurrected from the grave. You see, Acts 4 is a wonderful outline on how to take Jesus to a lost world. You need to understand this. Some people get upset at Peter and John. There were others walking amazed, right? They were amazed at what happened in Acts chapter 3, the lame man being healed. But now some are getting upset about it. Therefore, Peter and the others, they're going to endure some great persecutions. But you know what? They do not cease teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what? That's who God has called us to be. He's called us to be soul winners. He's called us to be evangelistic. He's called us to share the gospel message, to tell the story of Jesus Christ, to live the story of Jesus Christ, to go everywhere talking about Jesus Christ. Now that He's resurrected, what do we need to do? Number one, everywhere we go, around everyone we come in contact with, we must put in a good word for Jesus Christ. That is not an option as a Christian. That's not an option. Talking about spiritual growth in this Bible class, if we are not going everywhere around everybody putting in a good word for Jesus Christ, then we are not growing spiritually. We're not. Nothing more were we called to do on this earth but to bring glory to God and share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is why we are here. There are some amazing, talented people, and you see them all the time. I mean, I'm not exaggerating just because I'm the preacher here. I have been here my entire life. The most talented people I have ever seen have worshiped right here at Azalea City. Some have gone on to be with Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, I've been around the most talented, extraordinary people. And in your field, you have accomplished great things. And you keep on doing it. Because we've got to make a living. That was part of the punishment, right? We've got to work hard. But you're not here to be CEO. You're not here to be make the most money you could possibly make. We are here to bring glory to God and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ by telling others about Him. I told you they wrote the outline. They did it in Acts 3. I love Peter and John. Peter and John were fishermen. And by the way, they've left their jobs. That lame man, please, sirs, give me some money. Let me tell you something, buddy. He said, we don't have silver and gold to give you. He said, but we've got something far greater. And he said, I don't want you to think this is in my name or in John's name. He said, this is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. He did. He went everywhere praising and walking in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, Peter, John, how did you do that? Well, there was this Jesus of Nazareth who was our friend, and He was perfect. But it made His fellow relatives, fellow nation, fellow people, very angry because He called them on what they were doing. It made them so angry, in fact, that they crucified Him. Probably you heard of that. But let me tell you something about this man. the man that just in the name of Him we raised this man, He raised Himself. And because of that, I'm here today. You see, that's what they were doing. They didn't heal that lame man to get credit, to get glory. They healed that lame man to put in a good word for Jesus Christ. They gave God the glory. What happens when we do that? What happens when something great happens to you and they say, "Man, you did awesome," and you say, "Oh, it wasn't me, it was God Almighty." We give God the glory. It gets people talking. It gets people excited. And they did in Acts 3. But in Acts 4, we also learn it gets people upset. You see, there are ways that we can go about putting in a good word for Jesus. We can talk, right? I love Bill has said this. Sometimes we can't just live it. We got to speak it. We talk about it all the time. Well, I'm just going to live Jesus Christ. I'm just going to everything I do. Well, that's fine and dandy. But sometimes we got to open our mouth and tell people. And then sometimes we do it in service, right? We do it in our deeds. No matter how we do it, I can promise you this. If me, however we want to say it, if we put in a good word for Christ around everybody, everywhere that we come in contact with, results will occur. Look at verse 4 of Acts 4. "However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Remember, it was 3,000 in Acts 2, 5,000 men in Acts 4. It's about to be multitudes, and then they're going to be accused of turning the world upside down. It started with 11. They added Matthias, but it started with 11 in that upper room. Now, there were other people in that upper room, but the apostles were 11. They added Matthias, which made them 12 again. They turned the world upside down because they put in a good word for Jesus Christ. Number 2. Now that He's resurrected, we must speak the Word of God boldly and with confidence. Look at verse 13, Acts 4. "Now when they saw the," what? "Boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled." And they realized, what? That they had been with Jesus. Folks, at the end of my time here, now, chances are, I may outlive some others here. Or I may not. We don't know. But at the end of my time, I'm not going to really record my own sermon. I said I was going to do that one day so people would say good things about me, at least me. But at the end of that time, whenever it is, you don't have to say anything else. I just want you to say, "He has been with Jesus." That's the greatest compliment we can have. They were uneducated, untrained. They had not sat at Gamaliel's feet like others had. They did not have this great Jewish history background, but they marveled at their boldness and their confidence because they knew they had been with Jesus. Look at verse 29. There's a lot of struggle. We're going to talk about the struggle in a minute. It has come upon them now. A lot of threats against the truth that they were teaching, trying to shut them up and close their mouths. They say, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to Your servants that with all boldness they may speak Your word." You see, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." For all of us that ball up into a shell when somebody says, "You better not teach in the name of Jesus Christ," we got to get that garbage out. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Jesus Christ is resurrected from the grave. We better do something with that. And we can't cower down to the media, to society, to this country, to anybody that breathes threats on us. And they are going to keep trying because they've got the media in their hip pocket. But the church better stand up. Jesus Christ is resurrected from the grave. What are we going to do with that? We got to do what Peter and John and the others did. Speak boldly and with confidence. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." You know, back to the Old Testament, Joshua was taking over a hostile people, a bunch of complainers that Moses couldn't get to the promised land. But God told him four times, "Joshua, be strong and of good courage." If you go back to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age." God will be with us if we allow Him to. Thirdly, this morning, we need to understand, now that He's resurrected, we're going to do all these things, there will be persecutions. Again, it writes the outline for us. Verse 3, Acts 4. "And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening." You know why they laid hands on them? Because they were teaching boldly Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. Look at verses 13 through 21. A little bit of a reading here. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus." Verse 14. "And seeing the man," I love this, "who had been healed standing with them." That's that lame man from Acts 3, folks. Okay? Hear it now. See it now. Peter and John, not only they healed that man, he said, "Hey, can I go with y'all? I am so excited to be walking today, to be leaping today, to doing these things today. Can I go with y'all and say, look at me. Look at what the name of Jesus Christ can do for you." And so he did. And he's standing right there with them. "Seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could not say nothing against it." Meaning they can't say that this wasn't a miracle. "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem." All who dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. "But so that it spreads no further, let us severely threaten them, that from now on, they speak to no man in this name." That's the name of Jesus. Now, what's a severely threaten? I have no idea. Was it a beating? Was it life in prison? Was it a threat on their loved ones? Was it a threat on their own lives? Was it a stoning? I don't know what it was, but I can tell you this, it wasn't good. They said, "Let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them, commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge." Now, here's what they said. "We know what you just said, beating, whatever it was, imprisonment, kill them. We know what you just said. And we know that you threatened us. But you've got to make a decision right now. If you think we should listen to you more than God, that's on you. You got to beat us. You got to put us in prison. You got to kill us. You got to do whatever. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, we can't help it. He resurrected from the grave and He put it on us to tell the world about Him. You do what you got to do. We're going to do us. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. It didn't just end with Peter and John, though. How about Paul, 2 Corinthians 11? We don't have time for it. But he talks about all the dangers and things that he went through. He was shown he would go through because he had to suffer for the name of Jesus. Jesus told us in John 16:33, in this world there will be tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Christ Himself was crucified because of the truth. When you teach the truth in love, Satan gets angry. But we must respond as Peter and the others did. Whether it's right in your sight, you make the decision. Look at verses 23 and following. Being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, they start praying, Lord, You are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of Your servant David have said, why did the nations rage? And the people plot vain things. The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly, against Your holy servant Jesus, whom You anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever Your hand and Your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Here's where Terry would have prayed. And wipe them all out. Kill them all. Take them out. Remember, He's the God of vengeance, too. Vengeance belongs to Him. I would have said, God, wipe them all out. But they didn't say that. They said, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to Your servants that with all boldness they may speak Your word. By stretching out Your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of Your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Don't let that lose significance with you today. They were threatened severely. And they took that message back to their people. And they didn't say, hey guys, it's been a good run. 3,000 on Pentecost, 5,000 men, the church is growing. Let's go home to our families. Let's shut it down. They didn't say that at all. They got on their knees and they prayed, God, give us boldness to keep teaching despite their threats. You know why? Because Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. There's going to be persecutions. Finally, this morning, now that He's resurrected, keep the message Jesus. Our message today must be the same message that they preached 2,000 years ago. Christ and Him crucified. In Acts 2 verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. In Acts 4 verse 10, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Nazareth that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him, that's that lame man, this man, Him is Jesus, this man, that's the lame man, stands here before you whole.
1 Corinthians 12:22 through 24, Paul's words. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Philip, to the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, he taught Jesus Christ. If I never shy away from preaching Christ crucified, then God will be glorified. And souls will be added to the kingdom. Jesus Christ, He came to this earth. Philippians 2, He gave it all up. He gave up the splendor of heaven. He gave up the authority of being God. He gave it up and He humbled Himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. 6 hours he struggled to get a breath. He grinded his bloody, cut open, destroyed back up and down that tree just to breathe. And finally, he couldn't breathe anymore. And it was finished. Joseph of Arimathea went and begged for the body, purchased the tomb. He laid in the tomb. As we sang earlier, up from the grave, He arose. But now what? Now what? You see, that is a beautiful scene to preach on Easter Sunday. But here we are the first Sunday after Easter. Now, what are you doing with that message? We better go everywhere, around everybody. Put in a good word for Jesus. We must continue to do it boldly and with confidence. Knowing that there's going to be persecutions, we still keep the message Jesus Christ. Today, if you are not taking advantage of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I can't preach Jesus any plainer today. Come forward, be baptized into Him. But if you've stifled that message, if you've closed your mouth, if you, by fear, quit teaching Jesus, we got to repent of that. We got to change. Let's do as Peter, as John, as the other apostles did. Let's turn this world upside down, starting right here in Sims, Alabama. And let's start right now together. We stand and sing.